Walk on by.
Wow.
Walk on by. Dionne Warwick.
Yes, of course.
It's Black History Month.
Okay.
Oh, anyways, my name is Dr. Michelle Maras.
And I'm Brian Swanson.
And we are Denim and Pearls. We are business casual.
With pearls of wisdom.
From the porch. And yes, it's Black History Month.
It is.
And I wanted to talk a little bit more about the people who have affected us in history that we know of and sometimes we don't know of. And normally when we get to Black History Month, when we were in high school or in elementary school, we would do, they would talk about Martin Luther King and, you know, Rosa Parks and, you know.
Well, what I find interesting is some of those stories nowadays are being changed and being taught differently.
Well, I don't want to go there. And then like George Washington Carver, there's all these things that we learned when we were younger. And, you know, nowadays they're probably shifting it and you're learning new things. But like I thought about the women in Hidden Figures.
You got me on that one.
Hidden Figures are the engineers, the Black women engineers who worked at NASA who never got credit for anything that they did.
It was actually an amazing movie.
It was an amazing movie, and I actually kept their names. Hold on. I wrote their names down. I have their names down as Katherine Johnson, Dorothy Vaughn, and Mary W. Jackson. Now, the reason I wanted to say their names out loud is because when we hear about Black History Month, we only hear normally about like six Black Americans who have changed history, but there were so many more. And then these three women, for me personally, were a huge benefit. My background, I went into engineering. Knowing that women like that could do that in a time where they weren't even allowed to use the same restrooms with other people is just mind-blowing. And if they can do that, what can we do today?
I would agree. What can't, well, there's so many things that are hidden. Even, I mean, you bring them up. We don't know about them because it's not told to us.
Yes.
It's not because of their lack of trying. That is for sure. I mean, if you look it within any of the entertainment industry, everybody had their lane up until Martin Luther King came around about that time frame or whatever. And Malcolm X. There was plenty of them. But everybody had their lane that they stayed in, and they didn't cross lanes. And I mean, I can even take it simply as far, I mean, making it as simple as music. Music always had its lanes, whether it was country western music or country music or rock music or whatever. It all went in a straight lane. And then somewhere in the probably the late 70s, things started crossing over. So now you ended up with, you know, whether it was R&B music on the pop charts, all these different things. I kind of see it all kind of come together at that point.
Yeah, I'm actually trying to think about another movie where there was a big segregation storyline about with a Black woman and a white man producer. It was where I wanted to sing the song I'd Rather Go Blind by Etta James.
Mm-hmm.
Beyoncé played the part. And they had a relationship.
If you remember the movie, put it in the comments.
Yeah, I can't remember. Anyways, I sidetracked.
As you're liking and sharing, put it in the comments.
So I'm sidetracked. But another person I also wanted, he has this quote, and he was a Black man, a poet. And I guess he was an activist, but he was more of a poet and a reader. But he has a quote, and he says, "You think your pain and your heartbreak are unprecedented in the history of the world, but then you read." His name is James Baldwin. And a lot of people don't know about him. He was from the 1950s.
I mean, I don't know anything specific about him, but I have heard the name.
And because he was around from the 50s to the 80s. And when he passed away, that's when people were started to talk about him. It always happens that way. You always recognize posthumously. So
after everybody dies, they get recognized.
So if you think I'm not doing anything when you die, don't worry. Someone's going to say, "Oh, they're amazing." So don't worry. You will get.
I guess
they
shouldn't laugh at that.
You'll have your. It is. You'll have your legacy. People don't realize the gift you bring into the world, and so don't go do anything silly saying I'm going to leave so that I can have some legacy. No, that's not what we're saying. Is that this James Baldwin? He had a lot of poetry. He did a lot of writing. He was like Maya Angelou. And he did that kind of thing where he was igniting minds.
Right.
And no one knew about him really until he passed away. And so I put his quote on a couple of days ago on my Facebook page because I realized if we let people tell us history, we will not know history. I put a quote on that a long time ago about, until the lion knows how to write, the story is always told by the hunter. And it goes the same way with history.
Mm-hmm.
History is told by the winners.
Well, it is. If you, I mean, even if you go back into the ages of time, and you go back into, you know, even beyond Greece and the Roman Empire and all this other stuff.
Go to cavemen.
I mean, you go all the way back. Things were written, and whatever was written is what's carried forward.
Well, that's what I'm saying. The cavemen drawings.
Written, chiseled, whatever you want to call it.
The cavemen drawings. The cavemen who battled the other cavemen. The ones who lost didn't say, and we lost the battle in their painting. It was, we won this great thing. Right.
Right.
So the winners are the ones who tell the story. The losers do. Let's not talk about it.
Well, that's true. But it's also a point of view or a perspective on how the story is told. Mm-hmm. It could be told by somebody who does write in your scenario here, two different writers telling the same story. They're human. So because they're human, they have different perspectives.
They have their perspectives. And just like we're military brats. I mean, we've been military traveling around all over the place. If you go to the North and hear the story about the Civil War, it's a completely different story if you go South.
Right.
They're completely, it's the same event, but both sides of our United States talk about it differently.
Well, just look at today's current events. I mean,
everything.
One person tells it a whole different, you know, one news station tells a whole different story about the same story.
So perspective.
It's crazy.
It's all perspective. And, you know, and that's why Black History Month came to be, is because history was written by the ones in control. The white men were in control. So even if you look in history, white women don't even exist in history. Okay.
And a lot of it.
And a lot of history.
There are a lot of us bygones. I mean, we all know about Betsy Ross, but I mean,
that's about it. But, you know, penicillin, we didn't learn about her. I just forgot her name. Mary. Anyways, the women who were in history, or the actress, she was like Gaba Gabor. She was just an absolutely beautiful woman. But she is the one who invented the circuit board that even does our cell phones. I mean, things like she did the wireless.
Mm-hmm.
Gosh dang, I can't remember anyone's name today. But history is told by whoever is in control. And so that's why Black history became what it is because someone needs to say the history and add it. Well, nowadays, they're taking it out. So you have to be careful.
They're trying to remove the stuff that's offensive, and I don't understand that.
So
I took it another direction. Yeah. I'm sorry.
So if they're removing things that they think are offensive, if you remove the things you think are offensive, it is bound to be repeated. Catch that. You must leave the things that happened as they happened, no matter how horrific they are, because 100 years from now, we're going to forget that it ever happened and it'll happen again. The way you know you don't repeat things is to see it and do, oh, yeah, we're not going to let that happen again. But if you erase it and say it never happened, this is terrible, we don't want to know about this bad stuff that we did as a country, it will repeat. We'll all be dead. And our great, 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 great grandchildren are going to be the ones who suffer from our erasure.
Oh, I would agree.
Yeah.
I mean, today's day and age of, you know, getting rid of statues and all the other kind of things, the monumental type stuff that we've raised monuments. Monuments aren't necessarily all because that individual is a hero.
Exactly.
It's not always because of that. It's because they may be a hero in somebody else's mind. It's also because they
just
played a part in history.
Yeah.
You know, I mean, you can't go to Hitler without the United States or Japan. I mean, you can't have history without all the pieces of the puzzle.
Yeah. And you can't just rip things down. I mean, if you want to, I mean, when they were ripping down statues here in the United States, my thought was, you know, Auschwitz was a horrific place.
Yeah, they're trying to say now that it never happened. It was it's a, what's the word I'm looking for?
Yeah. My thing is, it happened. Don't erase it. And you believe it didn't happen, then fine. Leave it there because there are many people who suffered through it, lived through it, survived it. And so when I think Black History Month and I think of all the things that we've done as a nation, We come a long way, baby. And there's no sense in even stepping back one tiny step. Keep moving forward, because there are so many amazing things in our country.
Well, I think one piece that we're missing about this too, and I'm sitting here thinking, we're not talking specifically about Black history. We're not talking, I mean, we're naming names for references.
Because it's Black History Month.
But if you look back at where kind of Denim and Pearls was at, what, a year and a half ago, 2 years ago, somebody wanted us to be on a Black radio station.
Oh, yeah.
But they really wanted us to exploit you.
Yeah.
And bring you to the forefront for this. And why did we refuse to do that?
I refused to do that. Yeah. We refuse to do that because we are not a black and white show. We're not a green, orange, purple,
right.
Yellow, or whatever color you want to call us. That's not us. We're American and we talk straight from the porch. And
I think everything has to be celebrated in one way, shape, or form.
Every day.
I don't care if you were a Chinese immigrant or a, you know, African immigrant. None of that stuff in my mind makes a big difference. Or makes a difference in most cases, because one human to another, one accomplishment to another, one successful individual to another. I mean, if you strip away that stuff that we have a tendency to be bias on, the rest of it's really cool.
Yeah, and the thing is what we've accomplished through the mess is what we need to be celebrating. We went through hell as a nation. And we really came far. No sense in going backwards.
Well, if it wasn't for some of the stuff that did happen, we wouldn't be where we are today. Even the good, the bad, the ugly.
Yeah, we wouldn't be here at all.
We wouldn't. This country wouldn't be as it is. It wouldn't have been started as it was if it wouldn't have been for the fact of trying to separate from England.
Yeah.
And the monarchy and stuff like that, and setting up another country, another, as they call it, an experiment.
Or as Brian and I have talked about is, we like to just celebrate America history. All of us together. We are all together, and without one, there isn't another. And that we should celebrate each other as a nation, no matter where we're from. We all have, our ancestors have all left in some way, shape, or form under duress, by force or duress, by choice, whatever. But they all came away from whatever they didn't like.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, and even if you go back to the slaves and the slave days of in Africa, and they say, well, they didn't leave by choice. Well, they were usually conquered by another African tribe and sold.
Yeah, it happened within our own ancestry.
Yeah, they were doing it to each other, and we were doing it to each other, and Chinese were doing the same thing. I mean, it was a mess. We were a mess, and we can't forget that we were a mess, or we will repeat the mess.
Exactly. I think it's kind of crazy, because I'm a believer in people are people. And if you decide to be a certain way and deserve a particular title, whether it's good or bad, then that's what you've earned. It's not, I don't think everybody should automatically put somebody in a box just because of their skin color. Or just because of their heritage. And if you really look back at our history today, and our genealogical history, there are no such thing as purebreds.
I'm about to say, look at me.
There's no such thing as purebreds. We're all mixed, and especially those of us who are all alive today. I don't think there's a specific individual out there anymore that is genetically a thoroughbred like we have in animals, like, you know,
you can go to
purebred poodle. Well, there's no purebred white boy.
They're all mixed. Well, and I wanted to get to the inspiration of Black History Month, because what happened with me is, growing up in the Philippines, I was in a very diverse culture in the Philippines with a whole bunch of, you know, military brats. So we came from everywhere, and we never saw color. We never saw color. We were all playing and having a great time together. We saw rank of our parents.
Yeah.
And that's all we cared about.
They were an officer or enlisted. Yeah.
But we would still play with each other. It's just like, I got to go back up off my hill. Yeah, I've got to go back down. And that was it. But when we were together, we were one. And that is how I see the United States. And growing up in the Philippines, one of my teachers, Dr. Johnson, She walked in the march with Martin Luther King Jr.
Oh, cool.
And I knew of Martin Luther King Jr., but I didn't know he was just a picture in a book. And when she started showing us personal pictures with her, with him, and then marching and talking about how passionate he was, and then she showed us the video, I remember shifting my whole world thinking, there is so much more than the bubble I live in. And I remember that igniting me. So whatever happened to you, what did you have anything? It doesn't have to be Black History Month, but was there something that you learned about history that made you do, oh, I'm an American. That's Martin Luther King did that for me. Oh,
I think honestly, it was joining the military.
Really?
I was raised in a, what you could say, a racist area or whatever. I mean, I was born in the late 60s.
Small town
kind of thing. So yeah, there was a lot of racism, if you will, or let's say bias, I guess you could more or less call it.
Yeah.
Because I was taught that there's a difference in words. Mm-hmm. And like I said a minute ago, you earn your title. Okay. And some are offensive, some are not offensive. It all just depends on who you are. But once I joined the military, that's when, and being a people person, that's when I joined the military is when a lot of that went away and you worked with everybody. Can you, as I say, are you going to protect my six?
Yeah.
Okay. I didn't look at you and go, I don't want you back there because you're such and such. I didn't know. There's no way you could do that.
Band of brothers.
Right. You had to all come together. And yes, I know the military has its history too.
Yes.
When you start talking they always talk about them. I just lost their name. I'm doing your thing. The Flyers, the Black Flyers.
Black Flyers, yeah.
I can't think of their name. Anyway, it's not Band of Brothers.
No.
Tuskegee Airmen.
Yes, thank you.
I mean, yes, military had its history, but when I went in, it took a lot of that away from me, from what I grew up with, and said, you're a person, and you're either going to protect me or you're not going to protect me. You can do the job or you can't do the job. And it's the same thing even when we went through the transition of the military goes through the transition of putting women on the front line and such.
Yeah, I remember that.
It's the same idea. If you're going to, you know, cower out and hunker down, maybe that's not a place for you. And I don't care what you are, but if you're going to stand up and fight fight for the freedoms of this country and everything that the military stands for, then more power to you.
Yeah.
You know, nobody's expecting you to lift a helicopter on your own. I mean, it just, there are certain requirements on certain things, but then I really took a turn when I got involved with Galaxy Fest, when we bought Galaxy Fest and that.
It didn't affect you when you found out who your real father was?
No, I wanted to know more about the background and the history and stuff like that. I wanted to know if he still had hair.
No, I'm just thinking because you were raised in a small town that was kind of, I guess you can say, closed-minded because they didn't have a lot of people outside of the race of white there.
Right. Finding my dad didn't said anything. I mean, yes, he's a heck of a lot more Mexican than I am, more closer to purebred than I am, but
it didn't affect you.
It didn't affect me when I first met him.
Is it because you were already in the military and saw the difference?
Probably. Okay. But now having, like, we had a conversation with him a couple, month ago, he had a wonderful conversation, but I also learned that he went through a lot of racism, yes, even being in Houston, where I would think that it was, a lot of Mexican Americans down there, or a lot of people have crossed the board, especially back in his days, because the rules were all different and everything. And he talks about racism in school. He talks about it in the shopping areas or whatever, just on the streets. And I had never realized or even thought that he would have gone through all of that. But it's actually quite amazing.
Let's say I go through it. When my husband and I first got married, we saw a lot. I mean, I used to be followed around stores in Seattle. I mean, it was just really strange because growing up in a military community, you don't look at that. And then to be followed around a store because of the color of my skin or because the store was too expensive for someone like me. And I remember doing.
Now I've been in places like that.
I'm like, why are you following me? Excuse me. Are you following me?
I don't think that always had to do with race. I think that had, because I mean, it's not that I appear to be Mexican, you know, because I've got a lot of Spaniard mix in me. But walking through a store that I don't belong in depends a lot on this. It's not necessarily this.
Have you not seen me? You know? I'm walking through the store. I do not. I mean, I look pretty clean cut, like nothing bad's going to happen. And they would follow me around because I was,
you know, when you walk in with a hoodie, I mean, it looked like the Unabomber.
When we moved to Georgia, my husband is Hungarian German, and our children are very, very mixed. And I remember we moved to Georgia and we were walking through like a Home Depot or something. And my husband had our kids and I was walking around somewhere else looking at plants or something. And my husband's walking with the kids and these two women came up to my husband and said, "My Lord, your children are just so beautiful." And he said, "Thank you." And they said, "Well, how'd you keep in that color?" And I came around the corner and he said, "This is my wife." And they both looked so offended.
Right.
And they walked away and suddenly our kids weren't cute anymore. And I remember thinking, whoa, we're not in Kansas anymore. Thank goodness. But oh, wait, we're in Georgia. Oh, that's worse. I mean, I remember doing, oh. So you never know where racism will show up and you never know where it's coming from. I remember living in Nebraska and having people literally, when they found out I was Black, touch me. I never knew Black people came in this color. And so
you got that Southern accent, a little Georgia drawl down.
I do, because I heard a lot. And so, but I'm not saying, I love Georgia and I love the people I met in Georgia, but there were specks of people in Georgia and in different places of the United States that I met where I went, this is kind of scary. So although we have evolved as a nation, my plea to all of us, let's not regress. This is a very serious subject.
It is. And I put it lightly too, but there's today's day and age, and I keep using that term, I guess, but right now, today, I think things are better. But on the other hand, I also think that they're not better.
That's what I'm saying. We're stepping back.
We're actually flip-flopping. We're reversing. And in my eyes, we can't make peace across the entire world.
The Bible says it's not going to happen.
Exactly. So if we can't make peace across the world, how can we solve racism across the world?
We make peace one-on-one.
Exactly.
It comes one-on-one. It's never going to be one to millions. It is one-to-one. Love thy neighbor.
Golden rule.
Next neighbor, love that next neighbor. And each of us love in our circles. I mean, I've had these conversations at conferences where I say, okay, there's chaos in the world. We all hate each other, right? Do you all hate each other? And everyone's in the audience doing, no, not at all.
What
I do.
But
you are every race, color, religion. We're all mixed up in here, but we don't hate each other. So why do we believe that we all hate each other? Stop believing it. We hate. Don't hate, love.
No, the other part of it too is we also have to respect one another's backgrounds.
Yes.
Where we came from and all that other stuff that we talked about earlier. We still have to respect that. Plain and simple, because there's some really cool Black history. There's some really cool Chinese history. There's some
every history. Name everything. They're all amazing. And the history on every country we've all come from. I mean, something as simple. I'm also a Filipino. Okay, I'm a Filipina.
I know. What do you put the O in there for?
Yeah. O is male. A is female.
Yeah, I know.
Okay. So the thing is, I've had people say, "Oh, you're from the Philippines?" I do. Yeah, they do. Are you a nurse
or a lawyer or a...
Yeah, they oh, and of course you can sing, but that's the joke. Filipino.
Well, that one I'm thinking is 100% correct. I haven't met a Filipino yet that can't sing. I've had some that can't sing real well. But
we can all sing. But the thing is that's what their first thing is. Oh, so are you a nurse? And I do, no. And so it's there's little biases in every nation. Okay. I mean, kids growing up, I remember if someone was from Japan, everyone just assumed they were the smart kid in math. I mean, there are biases in all of us. It's not playing to them is where the secret lies.
Well, if we didn't have, I'm kind of on a religious thing here, but if we didn't have free will, we wouldn't have this. But then we wouldn't have free will either. Mm-hmm. I mean, catch 22.
Yeah.
Rock in a hard place.
Enjoy your free will, but respect everyone else's free will. Just don't force them into your free will, because then it's no longer free will.
So we have to, just like in every situation where we talked about, what was it last week? We talked about adapting and overcoming.
Yeah, when your power went out.
When the power went out. Yeah, the show, if you haven't quite seen it yet, it hasn't all gone up. But anyway, adapting and overcoming. We have free will. With free will comes bias and other things, right? So what do? We have to adapt. And that's where that nice little golden rule, love thy neighbor, comes into play. And it doesn't matter which religion in you. And I think pretty much every religion has that same rule of sorts.
Yeah. Love thy neighbor.
Yeah.
Just be kind. Stop trying to judge. And I'm going to go back to my Byron Katie quote. There's three types of control in this world. Mine, the other person's, and God's. When you are upset and you want to stop someone from doing something else, it's not in your control. That's something that they're going to have to deal with. The universe, karma, God, whatever you believe in, that's what is going to deal with them. You control how you handle it, how you react. And by you reacting with hatred to someone that you don't like, you're just a reflection of who they are at that point. You don't want to do that. So love thy neighbor. Be respectful of everyone's background. I mean, I'm looking at Brian and I, and we're just, the two of us alone are about 15 different races. And so we get into these kind of conversations a lot, actually.
Well, what I find interesting is when you and I first met, well, not first met, but no, whatever.
Started talking.
When we really started talking and everything before we even come close to doing Denim and Pearls. At one point, you stopped. I made a comment of some sort, and you said, well, you know that I'm Black and Filipino. I'm Blasian. I'm Blasian. And I looked at you and I went, huh? What are you? And then it dawned on me that I do see both. But what's really funny with you is most of the time I don't see anything. Mm-mm. But there are days when I look at you and just go, yeah, I see the Black side of you. Or the other next day, it's like, yeah, I see the Filipino. Because you have a tendency to portray things differently sometimes.
Well, it's the different parts of my life. It's the fragments of who I am. And so he sees it. He goes, oh, there you are. Oh, there's the other part of you.
Filipino today.
Yeah, Filipino today. Yeah, where I get really sassy, you know? He's like,
you're like a, what was
this? Chameleon.
No, that's not the word I was thinking of. What was those things? The mood rocks?
I'm a mood stone.
Where you change color on each day depending on your mood.
And you don't want to, you want to get that. Because I got that French Creole in me, man. You don't want to come. You don't want her to come out. You've met the French Creole gal in me.
Yeah,
he has met that one. But, that's the whole thing is we love every piece of you, every fragment, and learn that history, learn that culture. And, this past Wednesday, I went to Pike's Peak Toastmasters in Colorado Springs, and a woman spoke, and she talked about you are someone's ancestor.
Mm-hmm.
And whatever your actions are today, one day when you're gone, your great grandchildren are going to talk about you. How do you want them to talk about you? And she said this in the meeting. We're all like, ooh, you are someone's ancestor. Uh-huh. You are accountable for someone somewhere down the line that you may never see. And if you leave a bad impression because you were angry or you held on hate, your great-great-grandchild is going to do, well, great-grandma, great-great-grandpa, they didn't like them. And they follow the trend. Break that cycle. Be the example of the world you want to be in so that the people behind us live in it. Because the little pictures have ears. Have you ever heard that? Children are watching. Children are looking. And they are all repeating what we do. And or worse, they do completely opposite, even though it doesn't have to be completely opposite, and make it worse.
Well, that's,
that's what's happening right now.
That's what's definitely happening right now, yeah. Especially when it comes to discipline of children and stuff like that, because we grew up with a heavy hand, if you will.
Yeah, but that one lady just went to jail for that because she was bad, bad, bad. Don't go that far.
Well, yeah, that's a whole other story. Yeah. But what I'm saying is we raised our kids with kind of the opposite hand of what our parents raised us.
Oh, and we were talking about that at my reunion. We were talking about how we were all afraid in school because We were like, were you a bad kid? Well, I was kind of bad. I could have been worse. And we were all laughing about it. And they were like, what do you mean you could have been worse? Do you remember the belt that the principal had?
Oh, my word.
Or the paddle. The paddle. In our age, if you guys haven't forgot, holes. They had paddles with holes. So you hear, I mean, you would hear people getting spanked.
Well, you know why the holes, right?
Yeah.
So they got more speed.
Yeah. And it made a louder noise. So the whole thing was, we were disciplined in school, not always actually disciplined. It was the fear of being disciplined.
Yes.
And so in our age group, when we had children, we said, we are not going to do that to our kids. Mm-hmm. Our kids are never going to be spanked. They're just going to put their nose in a corner and we will never do that. And our kids learn, well, heck, I'm just going to have to sit in the corner with my Nintendo. I'll do that anyways. And so we lived in a fear society. Our kids lived in a no fear society. And so what I'm curious about is this next generation of what's going to happen. Because
it'll be interesting.
Or are we going to have a next generation? A lot of kids, our children aren't having
kids because,
so,
yeah.
So that's a whole nother ball game. So my thing is we are an example of the generation of, we had a heavy hand, so we had an incredibly light hand. Now, what's the next generation going to do? Heavy hand?
They'll all be perfect.
Yeah, it's not going to happen.
They'll all be
perfect. It does this all through centuries.
Okay. So hold on. We went down a kind of a rabbit hole. We're
past our 30 minutes.
So what was, let's wrap this all up with the fact that, yes, we covered this because of Black History Month.
That's what got me on it.
Okay. And so what is the theme of this show? What is the, wrap it all up,
our
synopsis?
Our topic today, I mean, our title today was Walk On By. And the synopsis in my mind is, when you see something that you don't like, change it in your world. Don't try to force it into someone else's world. Ooh. Because if we go to every country and try to change every country to the way we think personally, we would all be at war. So walk on by.
Well, I say, I have to put mine in, celebrate others.
Yeah.
Celebrate. I mean, this is Black History Month. Yes. Celebrate Black History Month. Doesn't mean that you have to live the life, but celebrate and appreciate and acknowledge those who are in the forefront at this right now, today, in this month. But celebrate everybody and celebrate everybody's background.
Or I have to end with a song. R-E-S-P-E-C-T. Find out what it means to me. Everyone wants respect, even you. So give other people respect. Okay?
This was a deep message today.
It was really deep. You know, I like to go that deep. My name is Dr. Michelle Ross.
And I'm Brian Swanson.
And thank you for staying on this ride, because these are the kind of conversations we have on late nights. And we wanted to just keep talking. Anyways, we are Denim and Pearls. Did you say your name?
Yes, I did.
Oh, we are Denim and Pearls.
We're business casual.
With pearls of wisdom.
From the poach.
Peace. Remember, be the best version of you unapologetically. Learn to love each other. Celebrate.
Don't forget to like and share, because you know somebody needs to hear this.
And people need some respect.
All of our shows. All 160 of them.
All 60, so 160, yes.
160. We've done 160 shows now. But actually, this is 161 right here.
Sidetrack. Walk on by.
Peace.
Peace.